Hey everyone, welcome back to the Wheel Every Weekend podcast, the best off-road podcast that comes out every 3 months.
It's true.
Yeah. I'm going to really commit us right now that at least every 3 to 6 months, we're going to do a podcast. Not less than maybe once a year. I will say we'll do more than one a year for sure.
I think that's safe.
Guaranteed.
That's realistic.
I'll pinky swear right now with you that we're doing it. We're going to pinky swear.
We're doing it.
So thanks everyone for listening. Today on the agenda, we've got a bunch of things going on. We have some exciting news about our shop. We bought a new truck. It's been a long time since actually we've talked to everybody.
Yeah.
What else? We're going to play a game. We have some, I don't know, industry news.
Yeah, there's a lot going on everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So let me not get anybody's hopes up. We have not gone anywhere.
What? We literally were in the desert like 8 hours ago.
Oh, okay. Well, that's our backyard.
Yeah.
But we haven't gone on any trips.
But we go to the desert a lot, though, to be fair. Which is nice, dude. I mean, it's 32 minutes to Ocotillo Wells from here. And we have actually been to Ocotillo Wells quite a bit.
We have. Yeah. Especially considering it's really hot.
Yeah, it's hot out there, dude. Even we were there to watch the Perseid meteor shower, which was super dope, dude.
That was great.
Yeah, we got a rooftop tent mattress and we put it down in the bed of our new truck, which I guess we should say we got a 2012 Tundra, one of the limiteds, I think. It's like all leather interior. It's pretty nice. It has like, there's like a button you can adjust the headlights so they point up and down, and the steering wheel comes out at you when you start it, dual zone climate, proximity sensors, backup camera. Like for 2012, I think it's pretty advanced, especially considering it's a Toyota.
It is the newest, nicest vehicle either of us have ever owned.
Yeah, by like a pretty big margin too.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy. I like it a lot though. I kind of fell in love with it when we were driving it.
I love it. I fall more and more in love with it every day.
Yeah.
And so I look at it.
Our plan was to leave it stock. And then a week later, we bought internal bypasses and 35s for it. We actually originally got 37s, but they were all back ordered, all the ones that I wanted. So I decided to be an adult and get 35s. I got these, Goodyear All Terrains that are only sold by Discount Tire. It's like a KO2, but with a more aggressive tread pattern in the middle. And they're load range E, so we can still tow with it. So the point of having this Tundra is that we want to be able to go and pick up customers' trucks. And mainly we're buying a shock tuning trailer, one of our vendors' old shock tuning trailers. And we're going to be taking that out to the desert to do tuning since we're so close. So we need something that can tow it up and down the grade up to our house.
Yeah, something that we don't, you know, rip the bed off and build something crazy.
Yeah, although it is tempting. but now, I mean, it seems like as the days go by, the build gets more and more crazy because now we're getting a 42-gallon gas tank from it because it has a 26-gallon one. And probably once we put all the stuff on it, it'll get like 12 miles per gallon, and that just doesn't work.
Although right now, it gets, 16 and a half miles per gallon?
Yeah, on the freeway. It gets better mileage than our Tacoma.
Yeah.
It's nuts. And it makes like 420 horsepower or something, 390. I don't know what it is. It's something like that. The 5.7 is a pretty good motor. There have been a couple million mile ones of it. And the supercharger for it actually works. When you put the supercharger on it, it brings it to 550, I think, horsepower and torque.
So not like our Tacoma.
No, not like the Tacoma where it just makes noise and it gives it like 205 horsepower. It's like it adds a ton of power. So that might be something to do down the line, but the supercharger itself costs more than like any vehicle I've ever owned. It's like $7,000 or $8,000.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of pricey. And I think there are a couple of tuning issues with it. And I know this one guy I know who has it, he was having issues with fuel cutout on climbs because of some sensor that has to do with the supercharger that I never really understood. So that scares me. But I think the 42-gallon gas tank, I'm going to put some sliders on it. We'll probably build our own front and rear bumper. The 2007 through 2013 or whatever it is for the older body style, but still with the new motor, there's not a lot of good options. There's like two bumpers for it that are good. So that's kind of a bummer. It seems like everything caters towards the new stuff. But it's a great truck so far. I really enjoy it, actually.
So if we build our own bumper, then we're probably going to... It can really snowball from there.
Yeah.
We'll probably add a winch, right?
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you?
Yeah. And we need a... I think I want to get... I found a camper shell for it just in Ramona that's like the right color, the right year, the right bed, blah, blah, blah. I think we're going to go and get it and then... get some kind of like swing out bike rack type deal. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the internal bypasses and the 35s are on, we're probably just going to take off for a couple weeks and do a multi-state trip in it. Because it's just been too long.
Yeah, because another update, we finally did what we said and got into mountain biking. So.
Yeah. Oh, and it's super fun.
It's super fun.
Yeah. You it's have a, what dangerous. Do you have? Yeah, it's scary, dude. I literally, I'll go off a rock that's like 6 inches big and just like absolutely obliterate myself.
Yep.
Because I wasn't looking.
Yeah. It's my legs sketchy. Are just forever mangled.
Oh, God, dude. You have so many scars. You finally got a bunch of safety gear. I need more. We got those butt pad shorts, though. Those are super key.
Yes.
You cannot ride without them.
Game changer.
Yeah. The butt pad shorts are key. I got a Polygon Siskiyou. D7 maybe? T7? It's a 7 of some kind. None of those things mean anything to me. But it's nice. It's like a 29er. And then I think you have a 27 and a half, a Marin.
Yeah.
And it's great. Pretty fun. We're like 12 minutes from some pretty cool trails. So
yeah,
it's totally worth doing. And it's good. It like tricks you into doing cardio, which I need to be forced to do cardio.
Yeah, more. Definitely.
So I'm getting out of shape.
Who likes cardio?
A bunch of people like running shit.
I know. It's weird.
Yeah.
But we also really like to shuttle trails, so we only go downhill.
The downhill is the best. Although we tried to do Noble Canyon, which is this like double black diamond trail by us, and we had no business being there. I think we walked most of it, and it was like the hottest day. We ran. I just didn't drink water for the last 6 miles because you needed it bad.
I was dying. You I was dying. Going to die.
Yeah.
We had no business on that trail.
No, we were absolute idiots. And it was like full of poison oak. We're in like shorts and tank tops.
Yeah, we had no idea. Oh, I felt like such an idiot.
Everyone else has like crazy gear. Yeah, we ran into our buddy who has like the Guinness World Record for consecutive Nora wins on a dirt bike. He rides for Honda. And he was like, oh, you guys are out here? Yeah. And we're like, dude, we don't know.
I definitely panicked when I saw him. Like, what are we doing on the same trail as him?
Yeah, but he would just like jump the entire obstacle.
Yeah, no, we'd walk it.
And he wasn't even the fastest dude in his group. There were some like little girls in front of them that were just scooting.
Yeah, they were kicking ass.
Super scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the amount you can get hurt on a mountain bike is bad. Like I was just doing like a log ride that's probably like 6 inches wide.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't looking and the front tire went off maybe 8 inches to the ground. And I hit the handlebars of my chest so hard, I couldn't breathe for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, your stomach was bruised.
Yeah. Like, I fell like 8 inches.
Didn't even know you could like bruise that spot of your body.
Dude, it was like nothing. And I just wasn't paying attention for a second. Now I'm like scared to do it. It's like, like ankle high off the ground. And I'm like too scared to go back on it. But also too, for me though, like if I crash bad once, that's it. I'm done.
I know that you have more at stake than I crash every time we go out all the time.
Constantly.
I'm also not afraid of crashing now because I fall all the time and I just expect it. So
yeah, you always have.
That's true. It's been my whole life.
Yeah, that's true. You want to pull your mic so you're facing it?
Yeah, I don't know how to use this thing.
Here. Yeah, twist it. You like keep looking at me and then not looking into the mic. So you can just turn it.
Look. That's better. Yeah.
So we finally got two Rode USB minis, which hopefully the audio quality is good. They have all this stuff in them that's supposed to like cancel noise, blah, blah, blah. And then finally I figured out a way to run two USB mics at the same time. And then I have like three more mics so we can do interviews. But I think more than two people is just too much.
It's a lot for a podcast.
Yeah, it's hard. So we'll probably try and stick to that. But I do still want to do a bunch of interviews. It's just like, I just don't have time for anything. I have zero time.
Time is an issue. And I don't know. Things are so crazy in the world. I remember when we were sitting at the place we lived before we bought this house, and we were talking about COVID and what it means and what it's going to do to the community. And what, that was a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And I also remember we talked about, is this going to kill the rooftop tent and the overlanding scene?
Oh, dude, I was wrong on you everything. You were totally wrong. I've never been so, well, I've been wrong a lot, but I was so wrong on everything.
Yeah.
Like, I just, I just wanted to point that out. Well, I would also like to say that when Jeep came out with the four-door Jeep, I think I've said this on the podcast before, I thought it was the end of Jeep because no one would buy them. Meanwhile, it's like the most popular SUV in America of all time. So maybe just do the opposite of what I say. Because I didn't see any of it coming.
But now we're going back into this craziness. So I don't know. I don't know if people can. I don't even know where people can travel to right now. You know, like if we bring people here. I don't know.
I mean, as long as they're in the state, it's fine.
If they block interstate travel.
I don't know how you do that, though.
I don't know. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird. Do you want to share your exciting news?
Oh, yeah. We have another tidbit of information. It's pretty big impact on our lives. I have quit my day job. Working with Ian full-time now.
Yeah.
So no more corporate life, and I am loving it.
Yep. We decided to take huge plunge.
Yep.
Before you were a manager of recruiting for a pretty big law firm.
Yeah. It's a global law firm of 1,000 attorneys. And I was in charge of hiring all of our entry level attorneys, firm wide.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, I mean, it's rough, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the bureaucracy,
it's
paperwork, bullshit.
It's so consuming and you can easily get sucked into it. Like more and more every day. And and the further you advance your career, the more you get sucked in. I don't know. It's just oftentimes it's toxic. It's, I mean,
the politics are terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like inner office politics and like your personal relations with people are rough, but also there'd be days where literally you would just be sitting in front of a computer for 14 hours.
Yeah.
And like you would not eat, you would not drink. That's it. You would not get up.
And then like days where I would just take a minute, and by a minute, I mean like 60 seconds, go to the bathroom and cry and then just come back and be like, okay, let's get back to this. It's just, it's that amount of stress is just, I mean, it's probably taken years off, you know, it's just not a way to live.
No, it sucks, man. At a certain point, the money isn't worth it. And we have 30 or 40 new products that are coming out and, so we have a ton of work coming up, and I would be booked solid, except I'm capping it after this Nissan, which is also kind of why this Nissan is taking so long, because I want it to be like the last customer solid axle I do, unless I'm building race trucks. But so I want it to be like the keystone of my little like mini fab shop time. And I also hate it, and I've cut off the cage like 4 times now, and I'm going to do it again, probably right after this podcast. I'm going to cut off the back part of it and redo it.
But that's why it's turning out so good. Cause you're kind of a perfectionist.
Yeah. I have a problem
with certain things,
other things I just don't care about. I know too much, I think, about certain things.
And also don't listen to what you think is going to happen.
Yeah, that's true. So what else is going on in the industry right now?
I don't know, man. Are we going back to normal things?
Yeah, I think so. Are we going to SEMA this year?
Oh, yeah, we are.
SEMA balls. I don't know why, but that has made you laugh for like 3 weeks solid because you're a child.
I don't know.
Yeah. So we'll be there. I think we're only going to do one day though, right?
I don't know. Let's play it by ear.
See how fun it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to do that and then maybe squeeze a camping trip out of it too.
Yeah, we might as well. Because before, again, with my job, we would go to things like Overland Expo, but we would only be able to do that. We wouldn't get to camp or do anything else because then I would have to come back to work.
And
you would, of course, have work too.
Yeah.
So now we're a little bit more flexible with our time and our schedule. We can kind of.
Yeah. But I still work 7 days a week. So whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Do what you love and
you'll work every day of your life.
Yeah.
That's what I always say. So that'll be good. So if you guys are going to go to SEMA, we'll see you there.
And yeah, this is our first time going.
Yeah, so. I wanted to go to like PRI and a couple other ones, but they're just too far. SEMA, at least we can just drive to.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah. And you're right. There are a lot of places around Vegas that we can explore. I mean, obviously, we're not Vegas people. We're not going to hit the strip.
No, but like, I've never been to the Grand Canyon before in my entire life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, never. Oh, I would really like to go. And I know our friends have some secret camping spots around there too.
Oh, sweet.
Which I'm sure have been blown up by Instagram to the point where they're just absolutely trash and on the verge of getting closed. Mm-hmm. But so we got to go before the Overlanders get them closed.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's nice is like I said before, we've got a flexible schedule so we can go like Monday to Thursday.
Yeah. The weekday stuff is great. Like we've only been to the desert during the week, or we really only go mountain biking during the week
too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we get the trail all to ourselves.
Yeah. That's dope. Mm-hmm. Kind of like our Moab trip where we went wheeling for like 5 days and we saw less than 10 people.
Oh, that was perfect. I don't think I'm kind of sad because I don't think it will ever be that perfect.
No, I don't think so either. I think we're going to go. I hate crowds on trails, dude. It just bothers me. Yeah. That's why I like doing the Rubicon during the week too and not doing like the events.
Yeah. We might go. I'm hoping that we can get to Colorado this year.
Yeah, I think we can in the Tundra. So we're putting the 8112s on the Tundra.
I can't wait.
Yeah. There's like, I feel like a lot of people think that we are just like, sponsored by Bill Steen and they're like paying us to say stuff about it. And I would like to say that I paid full cost for the shocks on the Tundra. I bought them and we are waiting 8 weeks for them to be built. Like that's how good they are. Yeah. Like everybody else. Like they are so good. The combination of having the full size digressive piston with the five zones still, it's incredible. Yeah. It's like, it's so much better off-road, but it's also so much better on-road, which usually those two are at odds.
Right.
But because of the bypass design, it's just, it's incredible. Yeah. Like I can't say enough good stuff about it.
And you put together a really good video explaining how they work on YouTube.
Yeah. I used an actual cutaway of the shock because I think part of the problem is people kept emailing me and they'd be like, oh, well, how does this compare to brand X 2.5 inch coilover. And I'm like, well, it's not a coilover. So it doesn't like you, those aren't the same product. So I finally, it's like a little 8 minute video and I show exactly how all the five zones work and the advantages of it. I think it's the best coilover on the market by far. They just have to expand it to more applications.
Exactly.
So like, especially long travel, although I do have a plan to adapt the Tundra one to a Tacoma long travel. But I'm also going to be doing a video comparing our stock travel Tundra to a long travel Tacoma that I think is going to make people sad and pretty butthurt. But also, I mean, the Tundra is like pretty good stock. It has like an 8.8 inch front and 10 and a half inch rear. It does like 10 inches of travel. It's like for a stock truck, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
The turning radius is so good.
Oh my God.
Compared to the Tacoma.
Yeah. It's probably not great, right? We're it's just not. Used to I just have really no bad
idea. Dude, turning it's radius. So much better than the Tacoma though.
It's so much better.
I need to do a video comparing the Tundra and the Tacoma too.
Yeah.
Like, this one gets 14 miles per gallon. This one gets 17. It's so stupid.
I know.
So I'm pretty happy with it. I think the one big downside of the Tundra is that the specs on it are really bad as far as towing and payload. I don't know why. I don't know if it's like frame or what is holding it back. And also, obviously, with a gas vehicle, one of the advantages is typically there's a lower maintenance cost compared to a diesel. And like sometimes they get better mileage than a diesel unloaded, but then when you're towing, a diesel is always going to get better mileage. So like towing a trailer, we might get 8 miles per gallon.
Yeah. But then we also had to like think about how we're going to use this truck. And it's not always going to be towing.
Yeah. That's the thing is we're not like, you know, we're not doing hauling heavy loads constantly. We're going to have like a small shock tuning trailer and a small car hauling trailer and that's it. And maybe we'll get some quads. Although, let me tell you what, quads are fucking expensive. They are not cheap.
I know.
And I want ones. I want them so bad.
I know, because we're so close to the desert.
I know. We could literally just go like on a Tuesday, be like, you know what? Close the shop. We're going riding today.
Yeah. Or just take a break and then work at night or whatever. Yep. Like,
yeah, that too. Like, whatever. We could go during lunch.
Yeah.
We could literally.
We have done that. We've got, well, mountain biking.
Yeah.
During lunch.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It's annoying.
We should just. Yeah, they're super expensive.
Just get a loan on them?
I don't know, man. I mean, even the used ones are super expensive.
They're insane. They cost more than Samurai's.
We should get a Samurai.
I know. We should just get his and her Samurai's instead.
I'm into that too.
Yeah.
Into all the things.
We could do a build series where we each build Samurai's and race them against each other.
Yes. Let's do that.
And get like kind of shitty ones that barely run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm into it.
Me too. All right. Maybe we should do it. That'd be cool. Kind of like a high-low on Donut Media.
Yeah.
Donut Media is great, but they like absolutely prove my point that I've always made, that the most popular automotive content on YouTube is by people who don't actually know anything about cars.
Well, this recent one. Because
the off-road one is rough. Yeah. Dude, all the other ones are pretty bad too, but it's still like one of my favorite series of all times.
They're so entertaining.
But you can tell that they've just never done any of this before. And they were arguing about airing down. You're like, I don't think it'll help.
The last one. Yeah. When like, they did the tires. Oh, and, my God. Yeah.
And then they put the worst lift kit of all time on the cheap truck, which is a Bilstein 5100 shock, which is a fantastic shock. But they did it with a Toytec kit, which pairs a shock that's valved for like a 450-pound spring. Mm-hmm. And they just put a 620-pound spring on it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, cool. Now it's lifted, but it rides like crap. And then to show the difference between that and the Icon 2.5 kit, which is a far superior kit, pretty much only because it's valved for the springs that it's sent with. Mm-hmm. It's not like you wouldn't take a Tundra shock and put it on a Tacoma. It would ride like crap. Or you wouldn't take like a fourth gen 4Runner shock and put it on a third gen 4Runner. Like it's completely wrong. It's going to ride terrible.
Well, also the test.
Yeah, they were comparing like the 5100s is like a 2-inch body digressive piston. And then the Icon set up is a 2.5-inch. They use like a linear piston design usually. Don't quote me on that because I haven't pulled one apart in a long time. And they were just like testing like breakover angle and stuff. And they weren't like going fast through trails.
Not at all. Yeah. No.
Mm-hmm. I was like, this is sad.
Yeah, I do like, I mean, I'm still going to watch him.
Yeah, I'll still watch him, but I'm just mad about it. It's annoying. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
Yeah, so we could do something like that.
Yeah, we could with Samurais.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of shitty Samurais. Mm-hmm. It'd be cool to do that with like older Toyota pickups, but now they're all like 10 grand. So.
Oh my God. Everything is crazy. The market for houses, for vehicles. Dude,
our Tundra was so much money. And we had to fight to buy it.
Oh, I know.
Like, I didn't even consider haggling. I know, here's a check. Thank you. Appreciate it, sir.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Ridiculous.
I know. And it was for what the market is, it was a good price.
Yeah. But like 2 years ago, the dude would have been high. Mm-hmm. Never would have got that much. Mm-hmm. But so we test drove a hybrid F-150,
yeah,
which I still think is a fantastic vehicle. But out the door, it was $80,000.
Yeah.
Which just is not worth it.
Yeah,
I don't care if it gets 24 miles per gallon, which also on the screen, it said it was averaging that trip that we did 13. So,
yeah, what the fuck? I mean, it probably did a bunch of test drives, so not a whole lot of highway miles, but still, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't more comfortable than the Tundra.
No, not at all. And also the dealership guy was kind of the worst. And I don't think even he knew there was a markup on it because there wasn't a markup on the sticker. And I was talking to someone and that's technically illegal. If they don't have like an addendum to the sticker, then it's illegal. But he tripped up and he said like the price it should be. And then he was like, oh, I mean this much.
Yeah.
When he was showing us how much it'll cost. I was like, I'm not paying a $5,000 markup on a truck.
Yeah. We just walked out.
Yeah.
And then they called us.
Yeah. Like 2 weeks later. And they were like, oh, are you still interested in it? And I was like, no, like not at all. So obviously it's not selling, but they're like, yeah, you see the lot. There's like no trucks out here. We don't care if we sell stuff.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. Well, when the economy tanks, I'll remember that.
Yeah, man. Just a year and a half ago, they were doing 0%
for 72 months. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is a fantastic deal. We should have got an F-450 cab and chassis at that point.
I know, we talked about it, but instead we bought a house, so whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing, is we wouldn't have been able to qualify for the house. So everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. Just sometimes the reason is you suck and no one likes you.
And I freaking love that Tundra, so.
Yeah, it's nice, man. Especially, I can't wait for the internal bypasses. And we got a Deaver Stage 2 rear leaf setup, which, ooh, I got to buy aftermarket shackles for it. Or make them, because they're like $100 and I have a plasma table.
So. I was going to say, that's another update. Oh, we actually have that working.
Yeah, I used it to make some frame plates for the Nissan. We made, oh man, we made like, it comes with a bunch of files that you can just try out. And some of them, one of them is like swords for like a coat of arms and like some other things. One is just like a square with some triangles cut out just to test like your speeds. And so unbeknownst to me, I think you just set them on the bumper of the truck.
Yeah.
And I was trying to fix our well. So I was driving up and down. And dude, we just lost like super sharp swords somewhere in the dirt where we drive up and down all the time.
Like the road here.
Yeah. Like on like the road.
The well, you have to drive to the well. So it's not like right by the house.
Yeah. So there's just like 2/4-inch super sharp swords sticking in the ground somewhere there that we can't find. So that'll be fun for future us, I guess. We'll figure that out.
We should have just made a dick first, like everyone told us.
I know, yeah, because dicks are soft and they won't puncture your tire. They're round. But instead we made swords.
Yeah.
And whoops. I'm sure we'll find them eventually. I bet we find them like next year sometime or something stupid. Yeah. And our well broke for a while, too.
And Ian has figured it out himself.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get started on this. Home warranty companies are the worst. I will just say that.
Yeah. According to the home warranty company, we've been without water for over a month. And they just haven't done anything about it. And Brittany probably calls them every other day.
And I've been keeping a log. And I made a Better Business Bureau complaint. And finally, I got somewhere. Yeah. And by getting somewhere, I mean they've allowed me to find my own contractor and do the work that they were supposed to do. Like I had to fight to do their job.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, dude. And they're just kind of like condescending and shitty too the whole time. And like literally, according to them, we just have not had running water for a month.
I know. And you just get some other person from not this country whose name is Cheryl that tells you, don't worry. This is our process. And every time you get somebody different. So nobody, like there's no
cares continuity. About,
yeah.
It's bad. You went like full Karen on them finally.
I know. I had to.
It was bad. Dude. I've never seen you push to that far.
I've never been pushed that far.
Meanwhile, I went on YouTube and I learned how to be a fucking plumber. I just fixed it myself. But we still want them to come out and test the well pump because we have another couple months left on our home warranty. Mm-hmm. And like ideally, I would like them to just replace the well pump.
Exactly.
Because they'll do it like they have to cover it now. Mm-hmm. And that's super expensive. So that'd be great. I already replaced the house pump because I messed up. I don't know if water's leaking into it or what, but the pressure pot was set too high and it was short cycling the pump when it turned on. And so I ended up replacing that and I lowered the pressure in it. And then I did a bunch of stuff. I welded up some fittings. I like redid some wiring.
Yeah.
It was like a whole thing.
I know.
And now I'm about to solder in a new 3-stage sediment filter setup.
Yep.
So like, I'm just figuring it out. Everything is pretty much the same as trucks though.
Yep.
So it's like literally, I started TIG welding too since the last podcast.
Yeah.
I learned how like a month ago, kind of.
Oh my God. You, and like now your welds are perfect. Like, I don't know, like. I guess years of MIG practice.
Yeah, I think MIG welding helps a bunch. It's hard. I still can't quite feed the wire with my hand correctly. So instead of like pushing the wire out, I'm just like dabbing and moving my hand into it, which isn't right. So that's the next thing I need to really nail down.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to get all the other mechanics down first because it's too much for your brain to learn every aspect of TIG welding all at once. There's too much going on.
Yeah.
So you got to split it and compartmentalize it. It's the same thing like I would do when I was teaching medical stuff. You would have like crawl, walk, run phase.
Yeah.
So right now I'm at like walk phase. Mm-hmm. And then I think pretty soon I'll be at run.
Yeah.
But so to test it or for practice, pretty much I'm TIG welding this entire Nissan cage because I figured that's a good project that, like, you know, if my welds aren't perfect, no one will die when they roll over or anything, right? Mm-hmm. So it's going to have a lot of weld on it and a lot of tubes. So also, we weren't sure if we were even going to do a cage on the truck. So
yeah, there's a lot to this truck that wasn't in the original
plan. I haven't gotten to the original build list for the truck. I've been working on it for like over a month. So that's the way it's going.
Yep.
But the guy I'm working on it for is great. He's actually going to come by tomorrow. We're going to mountain bike.
Yeah.
I made him get a mountain bike, which is cool. So that's pretty dope.
Oh, he just got it?
Yeah. He just got it like a couple of weeks ago.
Has he ever gone before?
Yeah, he did a downhill. He did a like a Bear Summit or something.
Oh, okay.
Sky Park. Mm. I don't know. He did one of them. But he's also been dirt biking his whole life, so he's probably better than us at it.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
I know. So we got to try and not look too bad and out of shape. But that means we can't stay up till 2 a.m. watching meteors today.
Oh, that Those was are sick. So nice.
Dude, we saw hundreds of meteors in under an hour. Mm-hmm. So there would be like three at once.
Yeah. Well, that last night was supposed to be the final night of the peak. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can still see it, I think, through the maybe end of the month.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. We had a crazy lightning storm, this week.
It was nuts. It like, kept me awake.
It
was so bright.
Yeah, it was hours of constant lightning.
It was like 550 lightning strikes.
In that one storm.
Yeah. So it was nuts, man. Absolutely nuts. So it's been cool. I love living out here.
Me too.
Like, I would never move back to the city. I can't think of a single thing that could make me move back to the city.
No, if anything, we would move further away.
Yeah. So I think our plan is to, we bought a house at a great time. So our house is appreciated quite a bit. Mm-hmm. We'd like to be able to sell it in another couple of years, maybe, and take the money from the house and buy a bunch of property in Utah or Colorado. Mm-hmm. And I need a bigger shop. That shop is just too small.
You grew out of it like as soon as we moved in.
Yeah. It was too small when we moved in, really, which I think we kind of knew. But the shops in town are just so expensive. And right now, like combining the shop and the mortgage is so cheap.
Right. And this place has a lot of storage, too, because there's a cellar, there's a barn.
Yeah.
So I think if we didn't have that, then it wouldn't, I don't think it would have worked.
Yeah, that's true. So that's nice, though. And it's, the commute's good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like 15 feet. And it's beautiful up here. It is. Although it's been hot lately, which I hate.
Yeah, we didn't know it got this hot.
No, or snowed that much.
Or snowed this much, yeah.
So it's like both sides are rough. So, whatever. I still love it. But I think we need to move out of the state.
Yeah. California is just expensive.
Yeah, and it's kind of a dumpster fire of a state. Yeah,
there's too many people.
There is, yeah. And it's really hard for small businesses to succeed. It's like set up to make small businesses fail. Yeah, so I think we need to move to some place that's a little friendlier.
Yeah, I think we should take the Tundra and go on a long trip and check out a bunch of other states.
Yeah, I think that's our plan. Mountain bike everywhere.
Yeah.
We can do like soft roading with the Tundra too. I mean, we're going to have 35s, no lockers, but, and I probably won't have the gears done by then. Because I think there's only like, I know there's only one factory in China that makes the gears for 529s for the Tundra. And then they get sent over and it's like, there's like two or three companies that use that same factory. And all they do is one will like heat treat or rem polish it or something and sell them for a little more. But that factory's had issues with COVID. So there aren't any coming over. So I emailed like just differentials, nitro gear, blah, blah, blah. Just like what's the lead time on them if I order right now. And no one even responded to me. So,
man.
Yep. That's the way she goes.
Yeah. It's with a lot of things right now.
I know. Yeah. People just don't respond. Like, I'm trying to give them money. Or, like, we finally got a fab table, too, which was supposed to be here last week. And it's just sitting somewhere.
Yep.
And I can't get a hold of the shipping company. And the company we bought the fab table from isn't responding either. And, like, I don't know what to do. Because, like, I'm a small business guy. So, like, the last thing that I want to do is, like, yell at these people.
I know, exactly.
Like, I've never been rude to customer service people ever. Mm-hmm. I'm so nice to them, but at the same time, like, I need my stuff.
That's how I felt about the home warranty company.
Yeah, it's bad. So, well,
hopefully that'll come in soon. We'll figure that out.
Yeah, that'll be nice. But then the shop will be really cramped. Although it'll be nice to be able to fix your stuff. And so some of the parts I'm making require fixturing coming up. I don't even want to say what the parts are, too, because people just steal them.
Yeah. Some people are shitty.
Yeah, that's man. Some people are bad. Mm-hmm. Right. We did have our patent expedited. We resubmitted it expedited so that we could get it approved sooner. So I think hopefully by the end of the year.
That's what they're saying.
It's a long process, man. It takes a while. It is.
Yeah, because we filed for the patent like several years ago.
Yeah. And we've had a couple calls with lawyers to talk about the people who are just like absolutely obviously like copying us.
Yep.
So that's going to be a fun, super expensive thing.
Yeah. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is that, like, even if you have a patent pending, you still have rights from when you filed the patent application. Like,
yeah.
So even though, like, you might not be able to go to litigation until after you have the patent number when it's approved.
Yeah.
You have that. If you're the first to submit it, you're going to get it.
Yeah. So we have rights like from 3 years back now that if anyone sold anything that infringes on our patent back in those 3 years, they have to pay us for all of that.
Right.
So this can be a big chunk of money, hopefully. But then, of course, it costs so much to sue people that.
Yeah. It's a really crazy area of law.
Yeah.
It's so when I started working at the last law firm that I worked at, they had an IP department. It is just nuts, the things that they have to do and like how the extent of intellectual property.
Yeah, it's crazy. So. But it's good. It'll be good to be protected. And then also there's some value to just constantly having a patent pending too, because you can just continually update it so that it covers like new and new stuff. Like if someone else comes out with a product that's similar, you can just update your patent so that it covers that too and then make them buy it off you. Mm-hmm. So they're also saying like, you might just want to keep it in pending status forever.
Yeah. But that's crazy.
Yeah. It's weird. That seems kind of scumbaggery though.
It does. And if you ever like, if your goal is to at some point sell the patent, you need the actual patent.
Yep. Yeah. But I think that's for like bigger inventions too.
Right.
Yeah. But it has been nice. I mean, we have a bunch of people who refer us all the time. Like CVT refers us constantly, which is great. We're going to get them something nice. And so this has been really good. I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And then also we've gotten referrals from like other big shops for shocks too. Mm-hmm. Like I ship shocks to a lot of other people, which is great.
Because most of our marketing is word of mouth. So
it all is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't do any marketing.
And I think that, you know, speaks a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's also, I'm so willing to help people that aren't spending money with us too.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, it, you know, it pays back.
Yeah.
Karma or something. Like this last dude, he was like, oh, I think I need to revalve my shocks, blah, blah, blah. And I ended up just like fixing his issue for free. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, dude, you got to cut those foam bump stops off. Your air bump pressure is wrong. Mm-hmm. And you got to change your spring rate. He did it. And he's like, oh, dude, it's perfect now. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I didn't spend a single dollar and it's perfect. So
yeah,
that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's the dream.
Right.
Yep.
It's nice to just share knowledge.
And yeah, it's good. I hate the idea of like secret knowledge in the off-road industry, because the only people who like say that there's secret knowledge are just covering up the fact that they aren't doing anything different or they don't know what they're doing. It's like all the link kits. When I programmed all the link kits and I was like, wow, even from the same manufacturer, the link kits are just completely different across all the applications. It's like people are just putting stuff forever and then they're putting more money into marketing than they are into engineering. Mm-hmm. It's like their engineering budget is $12 and then their marketing budget is like
$100,000. Yep.
It's nuts, dude. So that's the way she goes though. So what else is going on right now?
I don't know, man. I don't get out much.
No, we pretty much just stay here and do nothing. We just work.
Yeah.
We really need a trip. It's a bummer. Well, once this Nissan's out, we're going to build our double cab.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is going to be a really cool build. And I'm still pretty pumped about it. And then we need to do something with the parts off our extra cab that's all crazy.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to put it onto a buggy.
Yes.
Maybe make a little tube frame chassis.
Yes.
Using the same shock and suspension setup, but we got to fix like the front truss is all messed up and a bunch of the links are kind of jacked up.
Yeah.
So we'll fix some of that, but that'll be cool. It's too bad because the latest version of the bed design was actually pretty sick.
I know.
Like well thought out and well executed.
Yeah.
I was pretty happy with it for the most part.
But every time we do stuff like that, we learn and we figure out what we like and what we don't like and what we would do differently. So
yeah,
it always gets better.
Yeah, it's true.
As long as we're actually able to take it out.
Yeah, which that time we weren't. I don't know. I'd like to branch out and build other things too.
Yeah.
I want to build an Ultra 4 car.
Yes.
Although I don't know if I could race Ultra 4. That's the big problem.
For your back or?
Yeah. Well, and money-wise, too.
It's expensive.
Yeah, it's crazy expensive.
I mean, this is already expensive, just the normal builds, you know?
I know, yeah. They're super worth it, though, if you look at the cost of new vehicles.
Yeah.
Like, you can still get an older vehicle and dump, like, 10 grand into it and just run circles around any new truck.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the Tundra with the internal bypasses. It's going to be a Raptor killer.
Like, yeah,
it's gonna pass stock Raptors like nothing. I've seen it. It's crazy. So,
yeah, that's true.
The dollar to fund ratio is there for sure, but also it has as much travel as the first gen Raptor, which is bizarre. Like, I don't understand it. They didn't market it at all. They're just like, yeah, whatever. It gets like 11 inches of travel when you put the different upper control arms on. And a long travel Tacoma only gets 12 and a half. Anything beyond there and you're binding CVs at full droop and full lock, which is another thing people don't check when they do them. But I think I've bitched about that a lot. Yeah. Same with mid travel. The mid travel numbers are a lie because you bind the CV, but whatever. No one actually cares though. Cause they're just like, yeah, I put 35s on and it just took a 2-inch lift. I'm like, oh, okay, sure.
Yep.
Yeah. I need to make a video on why lifting your truck doesn't help clear larger tires.
I know. We've talked about that.
Yeah. It's just, there's almost like no point in explaining it though. You know what I mean? It's just like people just, they know so little about suspension. They just won't believe you. They're like, what? But people say they do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think most people want the easy answer.
Yeah.
And they want like a very simple, if you do this, then this happens. But suspension is so complicated and there's so much to it.
Yeah. And there's it's also so subjective, too, because you're applying like math to feelings. So,
yeah.
But also people are just wrong. Like the forums are so bad. People are like, this ride's great. And it's meanwhile, it's the first truck they've ever had and they just put it on.
Right.
And there's so much post-purchase rationalization, or like if a shock looks cool, they think it performs better, and that affects you mentally. Mm-hmm. So another thing I wanted to do with our first gen before we cut off all the front stuff was we already have the King set up for it. I wanted to get like a Bilstein 5100 set up and a Fox front shock for it, and then have someone swap them without me seeing them. And then I drive them out to the desert, wheel it around, and try and guess which one is which. You think that'd be cool?
You think you could do it?
I don't know. Maybe.
That would be super interesting. Yeah, I think we should try that.
Yeah, we just got to buy the shocks. But I think we could buy them and then resell them for pretty much what they're
probably
worth.
Probably, yeah.
So I think that'd be a good video. Mm-hmm. And then I can explain like why I think what. And hopefully I got them right, but I'm not sure I will. It's kind of hard to tell with that truck, though, because it rides so poorly to begin with. So, and I'd have to have like Chris come up and swap them for me.
Yeah.
And then blindfold me when I get in and do like an on-road and off-road driving comparison. The road to the desert is great though, because there's like sections where you're doing like 70 on straights with like a couple small sweeping turns. Mm-hmm. And it's also super windy in parts and like long sweepers.
Yeah.
It has like every kind of road driving that you would do normally.
Yeah.
So it's a great little test course. It would just take us a whole weekend to do. Maybe I'll do that. It'd be a cool video.
Yeah. Bring our shock tuning trailer out.
Why?
I don't know. We need to.
Okay. like related to the video or what?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
These are the things that we need to bring out to the desert.
Okay. Well, we don't even own it yet, so we should work on that.
All right.
Yeah. I guess they're going to build, instead of a trailer, they're going to outfit like a Mercedes Sprinter van with shock tuning stuff in the back, which I think makes a lot more sense. It's easier to drive around. You get better mileage. You don't need like a tow rig for it. It's all self-contained, doesn't get dirty, blah, blah, blah. I think it's the way to go. I don't know. I like those Mercedes Sprinter vans.
Yeah, those are also expensive.
Yeah, everything is. But I definitely see, like, if we had a Sprinter with like a bed in it and our mountain bikes, I see why people do that. Like, it does look pretty fun.
Yeah, it looks comfortable. I mean, if that's what you're doing, if you're, you know, just
totally
getting to the trail, camping there, and taking your bikes out and going.
Yeah, you're like so limited off-roading wise, though. You're doing like super duper soft roading.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess we will be in the tundra too. I really want to get that 42-gallon gas tank. It hangs down a little below the frame, but it seems super worth it. We just have to ship it to somewhere outside of California.
Oh, yeah.
Because it technically is not California smog compliant. Just because it doesn't have a carb sticker, though. Like, obviously, the gas tank has all the stock hookups and everything. So it doesn't actually alter emissions. Like, a new thing now is they are finally testing. They're going to fail people at smog who have tunes on their ECUs. So, like, all the OV tune people in California are totally screwed. They can't pass smog anymore. Which is something I've been saying is going to happen for almost a year. And people didn't believe me. And you know, if there's one thing I love, it's saying, I told you so. So there it is. I told you so. Also, I think Snail Trail blew up his truck because of the tune. He got the rev limiter deleted on it. And then he like exploded his clutch, dumping it at like 7,000 RPMs.
Oh, geez.
And I saw photos of his clutch. And it wasn't like burnt or anything. It looked like it was above the amount of times that it can spin, because like your RPM limit isn't just for your engine. It's for your whole drivetrain. So like your clutch has a limit of how many times per minute it can spin as well. Otherwise it can't handle the centrifugal force and it explodes. So I think that's what happened. So a lot of dangers with that, especially when you have a new truck that's so expensive and you're just getting rid of your warranty like that. But I think if you're out of warranty, you should do it, because the tune on the trucks is terrible from Toyota and it fixes it a ton. But if you're in warranty, I would never do it. Yeah. And I won't offer it at our shop because I'm scared of the liability.
Yeah.
Because now, I'm not saying he would, but he could go to the guy who tuned his truck and say, hey, you owe me a clutch and this, because this is directly your fault. And if the guy doesn't have like liability insurance or didn't make him sign anything, he could take him to court and probably win.
Yeah, that's the stuff that makes me nervous.
Yeah, that's what scares me about this industry. It doesn't seem to happen that much, though.
Well, I don't know that you hear about it.
That's a thing, too. But like that one dude went blind because that guy built him that truck all terrible and he rolled it in Big Bear. And he could have sued him for like millions over that. But yeah, that scares me. But we have a ton of insurance.
You have to.
Yeah, we have so much insurance. Yeah. And everything we build, too, is not for street use. So if you drive anything I build on the street, shame on you. I don't condone it. And I tell people that. I'm like, better trailer this thing only. But also, it's probably safer to drive than it was stock. Like, bigger brakes, better steering, blah, blah, blah.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, should we do our game? So we're going to do a new thing where I am going to do commercials for Overland products that people have submitted. I did a little thing on Facebook where I was like, hey, what are some like products that you think are super dumb, or like makeup products that are super dumb? And we only got a couple because no one's on our Facebook. So yeah, here they are.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go through the list.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm going to then try and sell you on them.
Ooh. All right.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Number one, electric high lift.
Oh, I'm not sure if you guys have seen this. It's a, ARB had a version that was like air, but there's also an electric one that uses like a Milwaukee battery and it like clips under it and just raises it. But here you go.
Okay. All right.
Babe, have you ever been using a high lift and thought, man, this thing is dangerous, but you know what it could be? Faster. You know, I cracked my mandible in half in 20 seconds, but I think we could bring that down to 5.
Oh my God, it's so true.
This truck did not fall over quick enough, is what I'm thinking. And for the low, low price of $1,100, it could be yours. That's all I got.
All right. Well, I
didn't
sold.
Prepare for any of these, so they might not be good. It's just an idea I had.
Oh, man. All right. You ready for number two?
Yeah.
Scottle.
Oh.
Classic.
So picture this, right, babe? Mm-hmm. You're Asian.
Okay.
Okay. You love woks, right? You ever been cooking dinner and you've been really weighed down? Maybe you have your wallet on your left-hand side. You notice you're leaning a little too hard to the left. And you look in there. What do you have in there that's weighing you down so much? $300 in $1 bills, right? What if you could get rid of those and even out your walk experience?
Period.
Yeah, period. That's the end. That's all I got. That's it.
All right. Well, as you mentioned, I am Asian, so I think I'm sold on that too.
Okay.
All right. Tires shine for mud terrains.
Oh, man. You know how off-roading is fun? But what if you don't like to do it, but you want to look like you like to do it? You know what I mean? Well, here's what you do. You make your mud terrains as slippy as possible. Also, it repels water off the rubber. And I mean, really, we're all going out to off-road, but it's no fun to off-road if people don't see you doing it. You know what I mean? I want to get out to the trail and I want people to think that could be photoshopped on there. So that's why you bring tire shine everywhere.
Well,
except I've already said before, I just dump a gallon of tire shine into a stream crossing in the endangered forest. And then I drive through the stream to get it on the tires, and it coats the undercarriage as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if there are any fish in there, it makes them shiny and they show up better in photos.
Perfect.
You get all of it.
All right. Next one. I don't, okay, you're probably gonna have to explain this to me because I don't even know what this is. Foam shocks.
Oh, I just learned about these a couple weeks ago and suddenly I've gotten a bunch of DMs about them. There are shocks that don't have a working piston and instead they have like different stages of like microcellular foam. And their tagline is to sell them, they got rid of all the moving parts that could jam inside of the shock. Because, you know, sometimes you're out there off-roading and what happens? You open up your shock, fucking boysenberry jam all inside of it. Right, babe? How often does that happen?
Well, I may have seen that before.
Yeah. But for real, though, I feel like a lot of people are solving problems that maybe don't exist. Yeah, I don't really have a good
ad for that. This one, yeah.
That one blows my mind. Yeah. You guys should look them up. I think it's Iron Man 4x4 makes foam.
I've got to see it.
Foam shocks. There's like no valving. It's just foam.
I don't understand.
Well, it can't ride good.
How long does that last?
I don't know, dude.
If at all.
I don't know. Because the whole point of a shock is you're turning kinetic energy. You're like displacing the kinetic energy and turning it into heat via friction to reduce it. So I don't understand, like it must jounce out super hard or something. I've never seen them in person. Okay. I've seen ads for them now though, randomly on my Facebook since people started bringing them up.
I have to visualize this because this is,
dude, they don't have any cutaways of it. I think
really?
On purpose. Yeah. Cause they don't want to get made fun of.
Oh my God.
It's wild.
Like all the, it's like all the, well, let's do it this way. It's like all those bumper companies that have like the foam behind the bumper and they won't like show you what's inside.
Yeah.
All right. Last one. Extended rubber bump stop.
Oh yeah. I got a lot of messages about these since I did that video where the before and after the 8100s on that fourth gen 4Runner, mm-hmm. where I ended up cutting those like super bump stops off.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got a good one for this.
Okay. All right. Let's hear it.
Have you ever been off-roading and thought, you know what? My truck has too much suspension travel. Well, there you go. Bigger bump stops there. And that's it. Fix that. Or also, some people's shocks are kind of lazy and need whipped into shape. And you know what the best way to do that is? Tons of unmetered jounce that they weren't designed for. Maybe you're cruising over whoops super soft, but you know what? That's not really working the shocks out. So what you could instead is just absolutely pogo stick over them and violently jump it. As you smash into giant rubber bump stops that just shoot your tires back out. Wasn't very good either.
I liked it.
I feel
you have a knack for selling things. And here I just said we have like no marketing strategy. It's all word of mouth. We're not putting you to good work.
I know. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. This was fun. We should do this again.
Yeah.
We should come up with more
products. I think for sure, at least in 2022, we should do another one of these.
Okay.
Maybe sooner. No promises, though. I would like to do one every other week and actually like put an alarm on my phone mm-hmm. that we just have to like drop everything and do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I can make a schedule for it.
You should just make a schedule because we're gaining a lot of traction, dude. And we hit over 100,000 downloads in like 14 episodes.
What?
Yeah. Wow. So I feel like we're gaining momentum and then we just stopped. But also I'm out of stuff to say.
Well,
I don't have anything else.
I find you guys that very hard to believe.
Okay.
As someone who is married to you.
What? I'm not very talkative.
Oh. Okay. Anyway, we should do this more. We can do this more.
Yeah.
And like we said before, we would love to have other people come down and you could hear from some other experts and
maybe not experts.
That we're experts, but you know, actual some experts.
Yeah. I want to bring people in that are like experts in their specific field and mm-hmm. have them talk about it as it relates to off-roading.
Or someone who has like a really cool build or something.
Yeah. Stuff you know? Like that too.
Yeah. I mean, you've had a couple people on like, Matt had some really,
oh yeah, Matt's great.
Interesting things that he's done. And And of course, Chris.
Yeah, Chris is great mm-hmm. too. I love that guy.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah, I had a list of a bunch of other people to have on, and then mm-hmm. I think I didn't like follow up with them soon enough because I have too much stuff going
That's
on.
The thing.
It's like untenable.
It's really impossible to be so spread thin, and that's another reason why like the timing of me quitting my job and mm-hmm. working with you full time worked out, because I was tapped out at my job and you needed a second person.
Yeah,
probably at least. Even more. Yeah.
So I know I would like to move to like a 5,000 square foot warehouse and hire like 2 to 3 other people.
Yeah.
But the other problem is like I want to be able to hire people and like pay them a living wage too. Mm-hmm. So like right now I really need like a couple minimum wage guys who do all like the small stuff. Right. But what I really want is people who are like dedicated to this career mm-hmm. and have like tons of knowledge and skill. Like I want to hire people that are smarter than me.
Yeah. And like you said, you want it to be livable. And I think the way you treat the people who work with you, like speaks volumes about mm-hmm. like your values and the company. And it's interesting with what's going on in the world right now. Mm-hmm. Like there's this crazy shift that's happening, right? Where everybody is like mass exodus in all the industries. And now people can't hire people.
Yeah.
They're the minimum wage, without it being officially changed, has to go up now because they can't get people mm-hmm. to come in.
Yeah, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
It'd be weird to see how it works. I think some companies are doing a great job of it. Mm-hmm. I know GoFast Camper, for all their issues, they pay all their employees a living wage and all their stuff is USA made, which is really cool. Mm-hmm.
That too.
So I like to see stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just want to be like that. And,
exactly.
I have that like army mentality too, where like if you're a leader and in charge of people, you don't eat before them. Mm-hmm. So I want to bring that over into mm-hmm. this. And I also want the employees to be able to afford to have work done at the shop.
Like, yes.
You know what
it's
I mean?
It's like Ford.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Model T principle. I want the people working on the assembly line to be able to buy the thing as well. But also I want like enthusiasts who have like severe problems and are addicted to trucks and just have like trash trucks, like vehicles they definitely shouldn't own. They have like 10 non-running vehicles, you know, like if you don't make it to work, I'll be pissed. But if you don't make it to work because like none of your vehicles run and you couldn't get it started in the morning, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I totally get it. That's how I've always been.
Yeah. And also, like, I've never been for like the strict work lifestyle, you know?
Oh, no.
Like, it's some weird. People work better at different times or different, like, environments. I don't know.
Yeah. And I also don't want to expect people to work like I do. Like, no one should work like I do.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not sustainable.
Yeah. When I managed my team at the law firm, like, I'd get some people who would start working with me and just give me like daily email updates and check-ins. And this is what I did today. And this is what I plan to do tomorrow, which is great. Like, great work ethic. I think that's awesome. But you don't have to. Like, if I hired you, it's because I trust you to get the job done. Like,
yeah, like you're an adult. Like, you're a grown up. So, yeah, it's a struggle. And I would also, I would love to build our own warehouse in Colorado or Utah. And I want to get like 20 acres of flat ground and build a little shock tuning section on the property with different like whoop sizes and a rock garden, and then be able to do shock tuning all in one there.
That would
which
be
I think
cool.
would be great. And also like test suspension too. So another thing with a lot of these kits and stuff is there's no objective data with them. So I would like to find a way to objectively compare the stuff. And there are a couple like videos on them, but none of the people really like know what they're talking about. Or you can just tell from what they're saying and how they're saying it that they don't actually understand what's going on inside the damper.
So it sounds like there's like not a whole lot of great information in out there about like learning about suspension.
Yeah.
What would you recommend people look up if they wanted to learn more?
I would absolutely not listen to a single thing that's said on the forums. They're the worst. They're so bad. Like, you're better off just doing random stuff. Actually, AccuTune Off-Road that just moved down here, they have a lot of great articles on their website. Which I think they do a fantastic job. And I refer people to them a lot, actually, when I have a setup that I'm like, that I know that they would be better at dealing with than me. So I've probably referred 30 or 40 people to them. And besides that, like, you almost have to learn by messing it up.
Yeah.
Like, I've messed up so much stuff. Like, there's almost no replacement for just screwing up constantly, I would say.
All right.
Which
done.
Which is why, like, I don't know. I've learned so much by just making constant mistakes all the time, which I then go back and correct. So that's good. And then I also want to do, we're gonna we have a pretty nice bypass that we're gonna make a cutaway to explain how bypasses work. And I wanna do some welding classes here still, which we never really got to do except at super small scale. And I want to do a shock rebuilding class here as well to kind of give people, because I think like if you can turn a wrench, you can pretty much rebuild your shock. There's not a lot going on. You need like one or two specialty tools sometimes. But I think they're pretty intimidating when you open them up.
Yeah. And it's like such an expensive product too. Like, people, you know, aren't comfortable. But really, like you said, once you do it, and you know what the pieces are.
It's pretty simple.
Pretty easy, yeah.
Yeah, there's just not a lot going on. So I think that'd be cool. And I really want to like empower the end consumer to be able to make educated choices. Like with the four-link encyclopedia, which I never got around to doing, of course, because all the ones I did, I messed up the weights on, which ruined everything.
Yeah.
But now we have really nice scales, which are also kind of junk. And I have a bunch of articles that are half written too.
I know.
Like why you shouldn't run 5100s with the old man Emu springs, why it's like the worst setup ever, stuff like that. Why don't sell certain things. The issue with some of the shock companies that are coming out now that are just taking shocks from Alibaba and selling them, and how in like, you know, a year or two, you're not going to be able to buy seals for them if they go under. You're just going to have like a paperweight. So, yeah. All right, let's go to dinner. We're going to go to Farmhouse, which is the best place out here. They have a chicken and waffle dinner thing where it's the waffle has sharp cheddar, like melted on top in the batter.
Fried into it, yeah.
It's like fried cheese on it. And then they do mashed potatoes with fried chicken on top of that. And then gravy on top of that. And then you put syrup on it and eat it like that.
They also have a spicy syrup, but we always get the regular.
Oh, dude, so good.
It's so good. It's, and we thought, like, you know, some of the restaurants up here are just like not trash. So good. Yeah. Like, it's not in comparison to that. It's just a really good restaurant.
No, yeah. Like, it's, I would say all the places up here suck, but this place is good for like in the city. Like, if I was in the city and I was like, man, I should take someone somewhere nice. Mm-hmm. I would drive up to Santa Isabel to go to Farmhouse 78.
Yep.
So it's like right on the way up here. If you guys have never been, you should go.
Yep. All right.
Cool.
Let's get some grub.
Well, thank you guys for listening so much. We really appreciate, I mean, we can literally only do this stuff because of people like you, if you've gotten this far. So we really appreciate it. We love all you guys.
Yep.
And we'll do another one of these soon.
We will, yes.
If you guys have questions that you want us to answer in a long form format too, just shoot us a message or email. I don't see a lot of the messages though, because I just
send us an email.
Yeah, I've had to scale, but I haven't even been posting on Instagram because I just like, there's just no time. I can't do
Hopefully after this build, we'll have more time to get back to things like that.
Yeah, we have a bunch of videos, and I'm not trying to do like videos to be a YouTube guy, but I want to do videos so that when people email me questions, it can be like a 5-10 minute explanation where I'm showing it instead of trying to write it out. That's the main thing I'm trying to do now. So hopefully that helps some people.
Yeah.
So thanks you guys. And we will talk to you in another week or two. All right. Bye.
Bye.